Hi, Crossway family. Great to be back with you. And thank you, Pastor Dale, Edie, and the team. I know you guys are doing a fantastic job in an extremely difficult season. And I trust that you and your family are doing well as you lean into God and receiving God's special grace for this season. We are focusing on the Great Commission these couple of weekends, which is very hard when we are going through difficult times ourselves. You know, we think, oh, you know what? That's the last thing I want to think about. I'm just thinking about myself and it's about survival. But you know what? When Jesus gave the Great Commission, it was even greater crisis time. And, you know, he was going to die, and even then he did. Then the persecution break up, and the believers were slaughtered like crazy. And in the midst of that, the early church hangs on and was laser focused on the mission. It wasn't because everything was so easy for them, but they were intentional and focused on the mission that the Lord gave them. And so we see that the gospel was flourishing and thriving, even in the middle of hostility and persecution and difficulty. So I trust that you will catch hold of that kind of spirit and embrace it as we look at the commission of Jesus. You know, one of the questions that a lot of people have been asking me from around the world is, hey, Jossie, do you think that this is the end times? And, and that's a great question, and we should ask that question. You know, I grew up in a very conservative church, and after every Sunday service, the last thing that the leader would say is, oh Lord, come quickly. And everybody would recite that after. As a young man, I would always just say under my breath, Lord, don't come back until I'm married. I just wanted to get married. So maybe some of you are not ready for the end time. But you know what? The scriptures are very clear that there is going to be an end time and things will come to a close. That's God's plan. But so today I want to just kind of focus around the end time in the context of the mission of Jesus. So the first part is going to be a little bit of hard one, but bear with me. The second part is going to be good. The scripture has a lot to say about the end time. So we'll just very quickly look at some of those things. In fact, there are 45 key indicators that the scripture tells us about what the end time would look like. It says that nations will rise up against nations and kingdoms will rise up against kingdoms. There'll be famine, hunger, earthquakes, knowledge shall increase greatly. Well, we know how Google has done that, isn't it? And many will come in my name saying, I am Christ. And they will lead many astray. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. Some will depart from the faith, devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. There'll be epidemic, pandemics, pestilence. These are all in the scriptures, friend. It says there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. There will be lawlessness. That lawlessness will increase greatly. The love of many will grow cold. There will be scoffers that will come in the last days, scoffing, following their own sinful desires. And they will say, where is your promised Savior? When is he going to come? There will be great tribulation, signs in suns and moon and stars, distress among nations, and the seas will be roaring with great waves. There will be false Christ and false prophets. They will come with great signs and wonders, and many believers will be led astray. While people are saying there is peace and security, then suddenly comes destruction like a labor pain upon a pregnant woman. And they will not be able to escape it. The sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its lights, the stars will fall from the heavens, the powers of heavens will be shaken. You will be hated by nations because of my name. People will not endure sound doctrines. They want to listen to itching ears of teachings. They want to accumulate information for themselves that suits their passions and interests. They will turn away from truth to listen to what they want to hear. And then I love this in 2 Timothy, Paul writes to his beloved spiritual son, Timothy, it's his goodbye letter to his spiritual son. It says, Timothy, my spiritual son, the last days people will be lovers of self. Me and myself, we know the selfie stick highlights how we have become so much lovers of ourselves. People will be lovers of money. They will become boasters. The other day, the kids wanted some potato chips. So when I did the shopping, I bought, you know, a bag of potato chips. It looked very big. So I brought it home and then the kids go, Dad, is that all you got? And I said, yeah, look at the size of it. It's huge. And they just opened it. And all the air went out and it was a very little bit. And that gave me a little visual example of what boasting is. You know, it just puffed up. But the substance is very little. And again, social media and other things highlight to us how people have become boasters. People be proud. They will become blasphemous, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. And they will be ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, in fact, pursuing and loving evil. They'll be treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. They'll be loaded with sins and filled with evil desires, always learning but never practicing what they learn. Wow. They'll oppose and fight the truth. Their minds will be deprived. In fact, there will be no moral compass that guides them. We can see the moral decline of our own society highlighting these things. Well, friends, these are not just made up by this Indian, but these are from the scriptures. That's what the Bible warning us about the end times. These are all signs. And as we look at it, say, wow, that's crazy. And it can kind of freak us out. Is that what we are supposed to do? Why does the Bible tell us all these things? To freak us out? To put fear on us? How are we to live? What are we to do when we know these things are to happen? You know, there are so many conspiracy theories and prepping and hiding, runaway. Is that our reaction should be? In fact, in this pandemic season, one of the greatest joys that I have is working with first generation new believers who have no historical context to their faith. They've just been few years as believers, and they are doing incredible things in their community and society and all of those. So in one of the calls, I was just telling our leaders, just be careful because you haven't got all the PPE gear and everything as you're caring for the people infected with the virus, you know, and all of these things, and trying to bring some caution. And one of the leaders picked me up and says, so why do we need to be so afraid? You know, what is the worst thing that can happen? You know, we die and we got to be with Jesus. Is that such a bad thing? And, you know, we need to be careful. Hear me correctly. We need to be cautious. We need to be careful. But at the same time, we should never be paralyzed by fear, because what is the worst thing that can happen? We die and go to be with Jesus. Is that such a bad thing? And the scriptures actually doesn't tell us all of these things so that we can go and hide and become great preppers. The scriptures actually says, yes, stay awake, be alert. But then it also says, be strong, be firm. But then repeatedly the Bible tells us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. And I love this passage. This is really the text for the focus of our text today is this 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Peter actually frames the end time in a great way that we need to think about. Peter says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything will be done away. Then he says, since everything will be destroyed in this way. So this is not up for discussion. This is actually not a debate for discussion. He says, this is actually a matter of fact. He says, since everything will be done away this way, there's only two questions that we need to be thinking about. And Peter tells us, number one, what kind of people we ought to be. what kind of people we ought to be when everything is going to be like this. Second question Peter asks is, how are we to live? Friends, these are the two most crucial questions that we should be grappling with, rather than being drawn into all the conspiracy theories out there. What kind of people we ought to be? How are we to live? The great news is, you don't need to try to figure out the answers, because Peter gives us the answers to his own questions. He goes on to say, as you look forward to the day of God, as we look forward to, friends, this is not something that we need to be fearful about. This is something that we can be excited about, energized about, something to look forward to. Just like, you know, some of you probably can remember how when you were going to get married, how you were looking forward to that great day. Late last year, our oldest daughter got married, so we went through that whole process. And I remember my own, times as I was so excited about this season. We're looking forward to, guess what? The end times is the marriage between Jesus and his church. And we as the bride, we should be so excited about our wedding day. So the end times is not doom and gloom for us as believers. It is for the world. For us, it is our wedding day. We should be looking forward to it. So I'm praying today that if you have become paralyzed or if you have become overtaken by fear, I'm praying that God will remove those fears and will bring an excitement and a joy into your hearts as you see all of these things happening around the world, that your excitement and that you will begin to look forward to the day of the Lord rather than become fearful. Know that God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us sound mind. He's given us confidence and strength, and he tells not to be afraid. And so we should be looking forward to. So what kind of people we ought to be? We've got to be joyful people. We've got to be looking forward people. And that's how we can be a witness and a testimony to people around us. If we are just going to be like everybody else, how can we bear witness to the love and joy and peace of Jesus? You know, all the fruit of the Holy Spirit haven't disappeared because of COVID or because of lockdowns. I encourage you to read those scriptures and begin to bring that back into your life and into your home and begin to live that. The second thing is what I want to focus again in the context of Missions Week. Peter says, so how are we to live? Prepping and hiding? Hoarding? No, he says, we should be speeding up the coming of the Lord. It's not my opinion. That's what Peter says. He says, we should be speeding up his coming. Speed up. You know, I don't know about you. I know these days we're not driving a lot, but when we do drive, you know, when you see an orange light, what do you do? And let me just confess what I do. When I see an orange light, guess what? My foot doesn't go to the brake, it goes to the accelerator. I just want to get through before it turns red. And so in many ways, all these warning that the scriptures tells us about the end times is like the orange light. As the orange light flashes, we shouldn't be slamming on our foot on the brake and just be paralyzed and frozen and stand there. We should really, as Peter is telling us, put the foot on the accelerator and move forward. And speed up the coming of the Lord. How can we speed up? Well, we can speed up the coming of the Lord by praying. We should, you know, as believers, rather than being so much, you know, focused on our needs, the Bible actually tells us, don't worry about what you need because we have a God who knows what your needs are. He's telling us to pray. So if our Father already knows what our needs, why bother telling him? Well, then what should our prayer life be like? It should be so focused on praying for others. In fact, you know, the people that I'm working with in Empart, they have started a million hour of prayer. It's going on right now. where believers are setting aside 1 hour every day, not praying for them, not praying for their church, but praying for their neighbors, praying for their lost ones, praying for people who don't have a father like the one that we do. I encourage you to become intentional in praying for the unreached and the lost and your loved ones that don't know, your neighbors who don't know. And pray less for your own needs and pray more for those that do not know Jesus. I know that you guys have a prayer letter that goes on, weekly ones. If you signed up, thank you. Read it and pray. But if you haven't signed up, go online and sign up and call up and get the e-prayer list and become intentional in praying. How else can we be speeding up the coming of the Lord? By giving. You know what? The resources that are needed to reach the unreached is tremendous. There are people willing and ready to go and do extraordinary things, but they're waiting for resources and tools. Especially now, there is so much opportunities that are emerging. You know, while COVID seemed to have locked down on certain things, other things have opened up. For MPART, in the last year, this year has been the greatest opportunities for us to be witnesses and caring for and loving. And, you know, most our people in the last 18 months have loved on and been caring for 3.7 million people who don't know Jesus. They've been given food and clothes and been cared for. Our schools and facilities have been opened up for homeless people to come and live. And have been for months they've been living and we've been caring and feeding for them. And I want you to think about ways. All of that takes resources. And I know that you as a church, you got your appeal coming. Now, you may choose to give weekly or monthly for the next 12 months. Engage and give all one time. Whatever way it is, get online, get on the phone and say, I want to commit more. I want to speed up the return of the Lord by increasing my giving. During the pandemic season, we shouldn't be cutting on our giving for the missions. We should be giving more because that's how we can be speed up the coming of the Lord. And then the third way we can be speeding up is by going. I know it's very hard to go at the moment across the seas, but make plans, make preparations. Our people are so looking forward to people coming because they miss the teams and the conferences and the training and the events. So plan and prepare. We would love to have you join on teams into the future. Things will open up and we will be able to do that. So plan for that. But also, there are over 2,000 unreached people groups that are still waiting to hear about Jesus for the first time in their life. Maybe some of you may have a call to do something about going to them. But here is what I want to focus on. While we are in this COVID season, while we are not able to go very far, you can go to your neighbors. You can go around the 5-kilometer radius. Just pray for every house, but also go to your neighbors. And one of the things, again, what our people are doing, they're actually started a campaign called Bless Your Neighbor. Every one of our believers, these are very poor first new generation believers, all finding things that they have in their homes and packing it and taking it to their neighbors who need it and blessing their communities and loving those people that are around them. You can do the same. Encourage you. You know, I was reminded about a story. There was a family that was so focused on doing things in their community and whatever else. And on a really heavy raining day, the 11-year-old son felt prompted by the Lord to go to one of the people in their neighborhood. He didn't know why, so he went there and he started to knock on the door and there was no answer. As he started to walk away, the Holy Spirit was prompting him to say, go back and knock. And he went and knocked and banged and waited for quite some time. And finally, a lady comes and opens the door and asks the young man, what do you want? And the young boy just told, I'm here to tell you that Jesus loves you and he is with you and he wants to share eternity with you. Long story short, found out that she actually was alone and lonely and has been depressed. And she actually was setting up a rope to hang herself That's why she just thought, you know, we'll wait and somebody will go away when there was banging on the door. But when the young man would not give up and just kept on banging, she came. And so, long story short, he was able to share the Jesus with her and lead her to the Lord. Friends, we don't know how the Lord may be working through you, or how the Lord can work through you, how the Lord is working in other people's and other people's situations. So follow the prompting of the Lord. In the morning, ask, Lord, who should I be blessing? Who should I be talking? Who should I be ringing up? Who should I be sending a message to? Be on the lookout. There's opportunities around us to seek to bless. We've been blessing the people on our street, in our neighborhood, multiple times through different gifts and cards and encouraging them. It's opened up so many conversations. This is a great opportunity for us to be going to people in our neighborhood and being a blessing to them. And encourage you, friends, the end time will come. It will take care of itself. We don't need to be worrying about it. We don't need to be fearful. Our focus is to fulfill the mission that Jesus has given us. And so I encourage you not to lose the priority of the Great Commission in the midst of all that is going on. Then I want to close with this. The greatest, the most clear picture of the end time we see in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. It says that this gospel of the kingdom will be, shall be, should be, must be preached to all nations. Then the end will come. Friends, I think there is still a little way to go. There is no other scripture that is as clear about the end time as Matthew 24, 14. So again, that lines up. The speeding up that Peter is talking about, if we can accelerate the spread of the gospel, then we are speeding up the coming of the Lord. They're connected together. That's the reason that we are here. I believe with all my heart, the only reason for any Christian to be existing in this world is to fulfill the Great Commission. None of us are exempted. It is not just for the missionaries or the pastors or the few selected groups. No, it is for all of us in our own way, through praying, through giving, through going, to engage. It means, this is what it means, friends, connecting everything that you are and you have to the mission of Jesus. Hitching what you have and who you are to the Great Commission, wherever you are. It is not just all about the ends of the earth. It is from home to the ends of the earth. It is at home, and it is not one or the other. So I'm praying and encouraging you to seek God in a new way, to be re-energized, to become passionate again about the mission of Jesus. Take some time to think about, pray, and ask the Lord for clarity. Maybe ask for the Lord for a vision. You know, in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, it's quoting the prophecy from Joel 2:28. It says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Friends, this last days are not season for panicking and fearful and hiding and hoarding. These are season for us to be dreaming dreams and having visions. And my prayer is that the Crossway people will begin to start having dreams and visions and see a greater future of expanding God's kingdom, especially to people who've never heard it, from your neighborhood to the ends of the earth. You know what? I know this is not you guys, but all the other church Christians around, you know, what has been the difference between Christians and the heathens? How have we behaved versus how their behaviors have been? We ought to be different. And the scripture clearly tells us we've got to be hopeful people, people with dreams, people with visions, not selfish things, but for speeding up the coming of the Lord. How are you speeding up the return of the Lord? How does your dreams connect to the speeding up the return of the Lord? How does your vision connect with the speeding up of the Lord? Friends, the Lord is waiting. for you to put your hand up and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Use my business, use my skills, use my ideas, use my creativities. Use all that I am, all that I have. Would you surrender yourself to the Lord? Yes, give your money, give your prayer, give your time, but give everything to Him and for His cause. I want to just speak to you. Maybe you're listening to me and that you don't know about Jesus. You know, all these things that we're talking about may be like scary to you, but let me just say to you, they are not here to frighten you. They are here to bring peace as Jesus comes into your life. The first thing that you can do is to embrace Jesus into your life before you can embrace His mission. So if you haven't embraced Jesus into your life, if you haven't made Him the Lord over your life, would you do that this morning? So how do I do that? Simply saying, Jesus, please accept me. I surrender my life to you. I make you my Lord, my Savior. Forgive me of my sins, and I'm surrendering myself to you. That's all. I want you to call the church, go online, send email, phone call, text message, whatever you do, to say, hey, I want to know more about making Jesus the Lord of my life. I want to know more about being saved. I want to know more about being a Christian. The church is here, even in these times, to help you. And those of you who have made Jesus the Lord of your life, it is not God's plan for you to just sit around. The next thing after making Jesus the Lord of your life is to embrace His mission with wholeheartedness and committing yourself to that cause to speed up the return of the Lord. Maybe you allowed circumstances to lose your joy and heart, and you know, your dreams and visions kind of all gone by the wayside because of all that's going on. The circumstances have overcome by the circumstances. Today's the day to put those things aside and away and say, I'm getting excited and energized. I'm going to look forward to the day of the Lord, and I'm going to do all that I can to speed up the return of the Lord. You know, in Empire, we've had this year the greatest number of people wanting to come in for training because they've seen the futility, the emptiness, the vanity of life and world because, you know, people dying and pandemic and poverty, all of those things, all these material things that we have been worshiping in minutes and days have melted away. And as a result, young people around the world are dedicating their life for serving Jesus. They want to do something more meaningful than pursue the emptiness, like, you know, peeling onions. That's what the world is. We can be so busy peeling onions. At the end of the day, what do you got? A lot of tears and a lot of piles of peels, nothing more. But let me say to you, if you would pursue the mission of Jesus, if you would commit your life for serving God in whatever shape and ways it may look like, you will not have just peels. Yes, there will be tears, but you will have treasures in heaven. I encourage you to think about, how can I pray more? How can I give more? How can I go more? How can I engage more with all that I have to speed up the coming of the Lord? Again, you may have not understood everything from this Indian guy telling, and you know, guess what? The church has got great people. They are here to help you. Ring them up. Send an email to say, hey, can you help me discern more about my responsibility, my role in the Great Commission? There are people waiting to help you. Would you just, even if you didn't understand everything, would you just say, Lord, here I am. Use me, God. I want to do more for your mission. I want to dream dreams. I want to have visions. I want to accelerate and speed up your coming. Would you help me? Would you close your eyes and give me the joy to pray with you? Father God, thank you for your word. And Father, I pray for those that don't know you as the Lord and Savior. I pray that your Spirit will touch their hearts and that they will take that step of making you the Lord. Father, I pray for those of us who have made you the Lord and Savior of our life. I pray that your Spirit will stir in our hearts, that we will not be content just to be Christians waiting for your return, but Father, that you would stir in us, that we would proactively speed up the return by engaging with your mission. And I pray for great wisdom as they do that. I pray for favor, I pray provision, protection upon them, God. Lord, as they pray, as they give, as they go, as they engage, as they connect to your great commission, I pray for great peace. I take authority over fear. I pray that you remove those fears and those blockages and barriers that have come because of COVID and lockdowns, the heaviness to be removed from every person, and an excitement and an energy even to go to their neighbors across the street and to begin dreams to the ends of the earth. I speak blessing and favor as they seek to do more for your mission, God. As they engage in your mission, I pray, may them lack nothing. May their families, may their generations be blessed in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we do pray, you enable us to speed up the coming of the Lord. Give us the grace. Give us the wisdom. Father, I bless the Crossway Church and every member as they engage in speeding up your coming. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Friends, encourage you to get excited. Look forward to the day of the Lord. And do all that you can to speed up the return of the Lord. If you will, in eternity, you will be so glad you did that. Thank you so much for partnering with us and praying and partnering through your generous giving with Empart. God has done so much because of your sacrificial givings, and we are so excited to be partnering with you and look forward to partnering even next year, as you pray, as you give, and as you go. God's blessings, and thank you so much.